In late 2018, Tim Keller wrote a piece in the New York Times titled, How Do Christians Fit into the Two-Party System? They don't. In that piece, he insisted that Christians do not have clear moral imperatives from the Bible when it comes to certain political issues. Keller went on to argue that because of this lack of clear moral imperatives, Christians could reasonably come to the conclusion that supporting full-blown socialism is not immoral nor unbiblical. This was all to, of course, lay out the case that voting for, supporting, and aligning with the Democrats is not immoral or sinful, and so we can't bind people's conscience against doing so. Back around when this article was published, I posted a rebuttal video, which you can see in the description below. It was easy enough to show the absurdity of Keller's claim because the Bible is not silent on how we are to take care of the poor, despite Keller's claim to the opposite. To give just a few examples that show Keller to be wrong, in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, Paul gives the command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. He also says in 2 Corinthians 9:7 that we are not to force our brothers in Christ to give reluctantly or under compulsion. Finally, of course, there's that well-known command, thou shalt not steal. Scripture screams, do not be a socialist. Scripture screams, do not use the government to redistribute wealth. Scripture screams that private property is essential to a just economic system, and Scripture unequivocally condemns the theft that is a massive welfare state. Voting for the involuntary redistribution of someone else's private property in the name of charity at the threat of government guns is obviously immoral and totally against biblical commands on how we are to give to the poor. The biblical and moral argument against socialism is easy to make, and so Keller arguing in favor of it is very telling. But the most telling thing about his article was what he did not include. Keller did not even mention the most glaringly obvious position that all Christians must consider before declaring it perfectly moral to align with or vote with the Democratic Party, that issue being, obviously, abortion. Keller did not mention the most atrocious genocide of our lifetime, or really anybody's lifetime, once in the entire article. A genocide that is quite obviously currently only supported by one side, the Democrats. The closest he got to addressing this issue is when he said, sex is only for marriage and for nurturing family. But even if he was including abortion within nurturing family, he did not actually give his position on abortion in the same way he did with socialism and welfare. Instead, Keller left us wondering, does he not think there are clear moral imperatives that show us how to deal with the issue of abortion? He didn't say back then, but now, 2 years later, we finally got our answer. Just a few days ago, Keller tweeted a thread making the same arguments he made in the 2018 New York Times piece. He stated in part, "The Bible binds my conscience to care for the poor, but it does not tell me the best practical way to do it. Any particular strategy, high taxes and government services versus low taxes and private charity, may be good and wise and may even be somewhat inferred from other things the Bible teaches, but they are not directly commanded, and therefore we cannot insist that all Christians, as a matter of conscience, follow one or the other. When it comes to taking political positions, voting, determining alliances, and political involvement, the Christian has liberty of conscience. Christians cannot say to other Christians, no Christian can vote for, dot, 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 or every Christian must vote for, dot, 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 unless you can find a biblical command to that effect." After a fair amount of disagreement in Keller's replies to that Twitter thread, with many saying, but what about abortion, a few hours later he added an important clarification. Keller tweeted, "Some folks are missing the point of this thread. The Bible tells me that abortion is a sin and great evil, but it doesn't tell me the best practical way to decrease or end abortion in this country, nor which policies are most effective." We can completely demolish Keller's nonsensical statement by just forcing him to make this argument for any other moral atrocity that is a violation of clearly understood God-given rights. For instance, what if Keller said, "The Bible tells me that murdering 5-year-olds is a sin and great evil, but it doesn't tell me the best way to decrease or end the murder of 5-year-olds in this country, nor which policies are most effective." Now imagine this statement was pronounced by Keller despite there being a current genocide to the tune of almost 1 million of these 5-year-olds being murdered every year. Keller would be laughed out of the room if he ever attempted to make this argument, and to show the absurdity of it further, we could also replace abortion with gassing Jews, or chattel race-based slavery, or gang rape, or eugenics, or any other obvious evil atrocity that clearly violates the right to life of a certain demographic. We all know that on any of these issues, Keller would say the Bible absolutely has clear moral imperatives and biblical commands on how we are to handle any of these situations. And he would say, I hope, that we must not support or align with a party of the two major parties that so obviously is the absolute furthest away from these moral imperatives. To be clear, Keller may simply be arguing that there is a lack of moral imperatives and biblical commands specifically on how to decrease or end abortion, not necessarily on whether abortion should be illegal. But this isn't really any better. First of all, the idea that it takes more than a baseline level of wisdom that basically every adult has to understand that ending abortion will never occur, or at least will take exponentially more time to occur and result in way more death if we continue to vote for the advocates of it, is absolutely insane. It's like saying the most effective way to decrease the slaughter of the Jews and to end the reign of Hitler would be if we gave him a bunch of nukes. That's stupid. It's blatantly obvious to everyone that if you empower the oppressor of a certain group, that certain group will continue to be oppressed until you threaten to take away the power of the oppressors if they don't stop the oppressing of said group. Secondly, it is not necessarily the job of the government to end abortion, but rather to make it illegal so that justice can be carried out against the evildoer, as it says in Romans 13. Do we want abortion to decrease? Absolutely. But the question is, what is the fundamental role of government in society? Is it their job to find practical outcomes, or is it their job to implement just laws? The thing is, no matter where you fall on the political spectrum, unless you're a full-blown anarchist, you believe that if the government has any role at all, it must at least be to prosecute those who unjustly take lives of others. If you're a theonomist, you're pro-applying exactly the Old Testament biblical law, in which punishing murderers is essential. If you lean towards natural law and general revelation as a means for determining in what government ought to involve itself, you would still see punishment of murder under the purview of what government should be doing. So this idea that we must need some greater wisdom that can't be obtained simply from a bare minimum base level understanding of the biblical morality in order to make an absolute, objective, biblically derived case against voting for the Democrats is not the least bit reasonable. We all agree, a government system that doesn't outlaw murder is an unjust, unbiblical government system, and we all agree abortion is murder. Therefore, abortion should be outlawed. The end. It's that simple. If your preferred politician doesn't agree, you should have serious doubts about whether it's moral to support said candidate. Finally, it's extremely important to not forget what the Democrats want when it comes to the issue of abortion. The Democrats' position is no longer that the child is not a human being. That talking point is long gone. They lost that argument over a decade ago, and now they have embraced ideas like, yes, it's a child, but what about bodily autonomy and my body, my choice? And they believe it should be legal for any reason at all. No exceptions. If a woman decides at 8 months that she doesn't want to have the baby because it was going to be the opposite sex from what she desired, Democrats want her to be able to kill it legally. In fact, most of them think that partial birth abortion should be legal, which is when a baby is delivered backwards and its spinal cord is cut after the entire body is outside, but not the head. And to add on that, they're trying to get rid of the Hyde Amendment, which prohibits tax dollars from being used for abortion services. Which means, if you vote for Democrats, your vote may be used to implement a law that forces you and your brothers in Christ to pay for the genocide of the unborn. This is clear as it gets. It's wildly immoral to vote for Democrats, particularly on the basis that the Bible does not give us clear moral imperatives about what to do on the issue of abortion. We all know that the Bible has plenty of moral imperatives and biblical commands when it comes to what we are supposed to do when we have a system that allows cold-blooded legal slaughter of millions of innocent people simply because they are unwanted. If you're denying this, quite frankly, you should question where your allegiance stands. You should question if you truly believe that babies are made in the image of God like you and me. Hey guys, thanks for watching the video. If you like this content, don't forget to go ahead and leave a comment and like and subscribe as well. And if you want to see more of my content, you can go over to libertytalks.net. Again, that's libertytalks.net. Or you can find me on basically any social media platform at Matt Travis Media. Again, that's at Matt Travis Media. Thanks.